Visitor family, welcome to worship this morning. I have our announcements. The Canadian Bible Society 31 Days of Prayer for Our Nation pamphlets are available at the back on the podium behind Janet. Please take one and participate in this daily prayer initiative this month. Sorry, Janet. The Wednesday night Bible study will be meeting this Wednesday, July 23rd at 7 o'clock in the lower auditorium for our study on the parables of Jesus. This week we are looking at the parables of the fig tree, which is found in Matthew 24 verses 32 through 35, and the leaven in Matthew 13 verse 33. There are handout sheets available on the podium for this week's Bible study. Our call to worship is Psalm 117, verses 1 through 2, which says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." Please stand with us if you are able for our first hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be."
To God's throne in prayer together as a church family. Let us pray. God our Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come here before you and to worship and sing praises to you. Lord, we thank you for your word that will be read and the fact that it's a living word, that it speaks to us. And Lord, we ask you to be here and be present with us this morning. We ask you to speak to us through the words in these songs and through the word, the scripture that's read, and through the preaching from James this morning. We thank you for the message that you've laid on his heart for us today. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity and freedom we have to come to worship you. We thank you for the fact that we don't see fighting and wars in our country. And Lord, we thank you for this peace that you've bestowed on us. We just pray for countries that are in war, that are in turmoil. Lord, we just pray for Israel, especially you've commanded us to do that. And Lord, we just pray that you would bring peace in that area of our world. Lord, we just thank you for the gifts that you give to us that enable us to serve you. And Lord, we just ask that you give us clear direction on how you want us to use these gifts for your glory. Give us the opportunities to use our gifts, Lord, and not to shy away from using our gifts and for speaking out for you. Lord, it sometimes is, we find it difficult to speak out and share our faith and witness for you, but Lord, we just ask you to help us to be bold to do that. Lord, you've commanded us to share your word with others and to spread the news, the good news, in our world. And Lord, we just ask that you enable us to do that effectively for you. Lord, we just thank you for James and the message you've laid on his heart this morning. We thank you for your word and what it contains for us. And Lord, we just thank you for all of the goodness that you give to us, the blessings that you bestow upon us that we are so undeserving of. Lord, at this point, we take time to confess our sins to you. Lord, we know the things that we've done that are not pleasing to you. And Lord, we just individually and as corporately as a church family, we lay these items at your feet and ask for your forgiveness. Lord, we just know that you are a forgiving and loving God, so we just thank you for your mercy. Lord, we just pray for our leaders in our country, and Lord, we just ask that you would help them to seek after you and make decisions that are godly decisions. And Lord, we just pray that you will bless our nation as a whole. We also pray for our missionaries that are serving in other places across the globe. And we just pray for our partners in mission that we have with CBOQ, with the Canadian Baptist Ministries. And Lord, we just ask for your blessing upon them as they serve and minister in your name. Lord, we just thank you for each person here. We thank you for those that aren't able to be here today, and we pray for people in our church family that need your healing touch. And Lord, I just pray for Kathy. I pray for Deborah Robinson. Lord, I pray for other people within our congregation that maybe haven't shared that there is any health issue. Lord, you know the needs of each person that's sitting here and those that aren't able to be here this morning. Lord, you know our frailties. You know where we need your healing touch. And Lord, sometimes it's just reminding us to make a phone call to check in on somebody that's not here. Lord, we also pray for others that are not able to be here with us this morning. So, Lord, we just ask for healing for Jim and Carol. And you know other people that that need that healing touch. Lord, we just thank you for the freedom we have to come and worship. We just thank you for the message you've laid on James' heart. Lord, we thank you for our other church, Baptist church families that are worshiping today in our city and across our convention. So, Lord, we just ask your blessing upon each church family as they worship today. Lord, we just ask you to give us opportunities to reach out to our community and witness in better and more effective ways for you. And Lord, we just ask that you be with us as we continue to worship today. Lord, we ask that we feel your presence, that you draw us to yourself, and that the truth that's spoken in our message today will be impactful for each one of us, that we can take your scripture and your words to heart and go out and be your hands and feet in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, and within our families that need to know you as their Lord and Savior as well. We pray for those matters. So, Lord, we just thank you as we continue in this worship service. We ask that you bless our time together. We pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we're going to begin our praise time with a well-known praise song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. It's the chorus, but we have a couple extra verses of the chorus that are new. So really good message in this, but Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. You can stand if you're able as we sing this praise song together.
Read from John 1:16. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Are taken from two books of the Bible, 2 Corinthians 8:3 to 5 and Romans 12:1 to 3. So first we'll look at 2 Corinthians 8, verses 3 through 5. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Now, if you turn back two chapters into Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given to you. This is the reading of his word.
Thank you for coming in today. I'm sure that you had a pleasant week. We've had nice weather. We trust more for more calm, interesting weather through the season, so that at least we are away from the heat as much as possible. Because in recent times, I think I feel the heat more nowadays than I did last year. So I'm getting adjusted to Canada. That's what it means. Today, we'll be leading our thoughts on the subject, First Things First. You know, sometimes when a pastor begins to talk about giving, a lot of thoughts go through the minds of different people. Maybe the reason why pastor is telling us about giving is because the church needs money. Yes, the church needs money, but that's not the reason. Okay. Oh, maybe there's a project that is coming and we just need to put money together for that. Well, for now, we may have some lying somewhere that we are not thinking of yet, but that's not the reason. The reason why we're talking about the subject of giving is that the premise of our Christian faith was born out of God's ministry of giving. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. And so if we are believers in Christ, and Christ said, he said, is anything, what greater love can a man have for his friend than do what? Lay down his life. He said, I've given my life. No one is not under pressure or force. I'm able to give it and I'm able to take it up again. So the concept of giving is as old as God himself. And last week we saw from the Old Testament to understand that it's not just our Christian culture, but it's in the nature of God because he initiated, even when we talk about offerings, as the church receives or the body of Christ received over time and will continue to receive. So, and I said we're going to be looking at giving from different aspects as much as possible this month, flowing into next month, and maybe forward. So, today, first things first. Paul the Apostle was talking about the church in Corinth. And while he was talking to the Corinthians, he was drawing their attention to some other believers. And he made them to see that these believers he was talking about were the ones who had a heart of giving. There was the background to that was that the believers in Jerusalem had crisis, and then all the believers around the world were encouraged to give what you can call rescue giving, or giving in a mission to help them go through what they are going as a way of God's ministry to their lives. And this particular congregation that Paul was talking about to the Corinthians said, look, they were even pleading with us that they wanted an opportunity to be a part of what was going on. So it wasn't they urgently, in essence, they earnestly, out of their own personal disposition. No one was pressuring them. They rather were the ones who were even pressuring the apostles that we want to give to support this ministry to those who are going through stuff in Jerusalem. But then Paul would show something which is very significant in our discourse about giving. He said, they first gave themselves to God. And that's the direction we're going today. First things first. Can I say that God is not interested in your money, your time, your skill, your wisdom, whatever resource that you have as a human person more than he's interested in your soul and my soul. In fact, in Todd John, it says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So any church, any minister that is interested in your giving, any Christian that is interested in your giving, but is not interested in your soul, is not speaking for Christ. And in our world and in our time, sometimes we have the commercial kind of Christianity. Very artificial and superficial in nature, that all it is concerned is to massage our humanistic ego to make God look like those who play sport bet. A money-doubling God. A God that, you know, that is very transactional. And such people make it look as if you give to God, it is a premise for which God will do whatever he will do in your life or my life. Making it seem as if you need to buy that which God has to offer. And that kind of mentality builds up a negative type of Christians. Christians who believe that God is tied to their pocket. God is caged in their bank account. That the church belongs to them as individuals because they see themselves more like a shareholder. Because they have been, in quote, given. That kind of Christianity will lead faster to hell than to heaven. Why? Because you and I, and whatever we have, belongs to God. How many of us agree with that? There is nothing that we have that was ours in the first place. We are only stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are stewards of the life that he has given to us. Because without him, we are no one. Without him, we cannot breathe. And I love what Paul said in one of his answering to the church when he entered into Athens. He said, even your own philosophers and your own poets have said, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. In essence, without this God, we are actually nobody. And our lives would ultimately be meaningless. And so Paul the Apostle says, is there something that I recognize about these people? Is that they gave themselves first of all to the Lord. Any giving that doesn't have its foundation, especially with us to do with Christianity, and it is not premised that you have learned the act and the art of surrendering your life to Christ, it's not different from the giving that those people who have not surrendered their lives to Christ do. Do you know there are a lot of people who give and they are not Christians? I hope you know that. They give to charity, but they are not Christians. In fact, they don't want to have anything to do with your Jesus. What would be the difference between us and those people? The difference is that for Christian giving, the one who is given has received Jesus as his Lord and personal Savior, and that person has submitted his life to Jesus, which means everything I am, whatever I have, whatever I will be, even the sphere of my stewardship of influence, all belongs to Jesus. If I cannot say that about my life, then something is wrong somewhere. In my little life growing up in the church, I have seen, growing up in the church and then becoming a minister, I have seen that sometimes people could give, not necessarily because they love God, but sometimes people give as though they are expecting maybe a position in return. And in some church setting, by the time the Lord is trying to move, in court, the ones who are in leadership, it always seems that the Lord is moving them towards only those who are rich. That I saw in my little years growing up in the church in Africa. Not all the churches did that, but there are churches that did that. It was like the Holy Spirit was only moving the minister towards those who gave heavily. Paul said, if there's anything, it was not just about their hunger to be a part of the mission of Christ in showing his love, in reaching out to people. It was not just about the fact that they were not forced into it, but rather they came willingly and they were the ones asking for opportunity to serve through their resources. What was most significant to Paul is that first, they gave all of themselves, the totality of who they were, to the Lord. Can I say this? And this is my belief over the years. I have never seen, really, except in few cases, or people who bring money to the church or gave offerings, and the church said, no, or we are not going to collect your offering because we don't like you, or we are not sure how you got your money. Most churches don't care. Why? All they want is your money. But when you read through the scriptures, you discover that the kind of Christian or Christians that we should be, the kind of church that we should be, the New Testament church is a church that must be concerned about your soul, and my soul must be concerned about your eternity. Why? Because if all we do is to be in church just to drop some money and then go and feel good without working upon our lives and our Christian faith and knowing that our salvation and our submission to God is complete, then we are not different from just a social gathering. But the church of Jesus is more than that. We have Jesus as our head, and we are his body. And if we truly are his body, we cannot be his body when we have not accepted his lordship. His lordship means he's our savior, and is the one in charge of our lives, the one we have allegiance towards, and the one we know we will give an account of our life, the one we know that is the only wise judge, that one day we will stand before his throne and be judged. And that doesn't do with our church affiliation. You cannot stand before the throne of God and say, oh, you don't know me. I used to attend Ambassador Baptist Church. It's not a ticket to enter heaven. The membership or the non-membership of any local assembly does not guarantee our access into heaven. It is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in a perverse world. Our citizenship, in terms of our nationality, does not give us access to God. So the question this morning, when we say first thing first, is, as you are seated there, a personal question. Have I truly submitted my life to Jesus? First part of the question. If I have truly submitted my life to Christ, how well am I following the Spirit of God? Jesus in the saying said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. That means how much of me, how much of my life depends on God? How well do I see every decision as something that I must take in reverence to who He is in my life? It's not about the other person by my side. It's not about my parents. It's not about my children. It's not about my spouse. It's not about the church. It's not about my pastor. It's not about my community. It's about how is my relationship with Christ having influence and impact over my daily living, my daily decisions, my private life and my public life. Yesterday, I was at Lakeshore. And last week I had to run out of service, so a lot of you didn't see me at the end because I was invited to minister at Hillcrest Church. And I'd been invited before, but I pushed it, and so I had to go. And then I was there, and from there I had to be taken to Kingsville, not planned, and had to fellowship with the brethren. So they said they had a picnic, and they said, oh, Pastor James, we would like you to join us. And so I said, okay, no problem. As long as somebody can come and pick me, I don't have a ride on my own right now. So we will arrange that. And so I will speak. Now, as I arrived Lakeshore, you know, not expecting to see anybody that I know by mistake, then I saw our sister. They normally sit at the back there with the kids. Is that Crowther, or how do we call the name? Crowther. So you help me to pronounce the name better. Then we have and then I saw the husband, Mohammed, and then I saw Isaac, then the other sisters, Amina and so. Now, if somebody told me that I will run into them at a picnic that had nothing to do with the church, I would say no. And you know what I said to one of the ministers there, the one who has oversight over the church planting effort, Pastor Pablo? I said, can you imagine that James was here doing something funny? And then they just were, oh, Pastor, how are you? And the people there did not know I was a pastor. And I was doing something negative. How do you think that my sister will feel? That our sister will feel? She said, can you imagine I saw our pastor today? Do you know where I saw our pastor? In a compromising place. They gave themselves totally to the Lord. The question is, are we totally sold out to Christ? I want you to give like the free will we talked about last week. We get to the point where we say, don't bring any offering again. I would love that. But can I say, I am not as interested, and the leadership of the church as Baptists, we are not that interested. We are not as much interested in your money being a part of what sponsors the mission of Christ, as much as we want you yourself, myself, for us to actually know this Jesus. Can you imagine our signage outside there? We have Ambassador Baptist Church this way. We have Ambassador Baptist Church this way. Then we have another one, which is the kind of that shows light at night. But they never come into the church. A signage does not go into the location. but it points people to the location. It will be that terrible if you and I happen to say we are Christians, but we are not. And we're given to support the mission of the church, the mission of Christ. But then our life is not truly surrendered to Jesus, which means at the end of all the good efforts and the goodwill that we do on this earth, then we ourselves become cast away. Paul said, yes, they pressed to give willingly without force. They were the ones who were eager to give. But that was not what touched him. What touched him most is that the first gave themselves totally to the Lord. I want you to look at your neighbor with a smile on your face. The smile is very important. So you are going to ask the person a question now. That's why I needed you to smile. Because if you frown, to seem somehow. Say, are you totally submitted to Jesus? That's the question you need to ask. And you don't need to answer. Just answer inside you. So can you help me right now? Preach to that person. Ask the question. Are you totally submitted to Jesus? Well, you don't answer because you don't need to say anything. It's a question you need to answer personally. Can I tell you the danger we have in North America? We're having more churchy people than Christ-like people. People who may assume, if not for my giving, the church will not survive. They have given their resources, but they are not giving their hearts. I will be a very happy, joyful pastor if by the time we all arrive in heaven, I see all of us and we are there together. Why? Because we did not just give our time, our resources, our skills. We gave ourselves. It is the giving of ourselves that transforms the society. Why do we have people who profess to be Christians and they are in politics and the society is getting crazier? It's because they are Christians by lips. Jesus said, they profess about me. They call Lord, Lord with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. That's not what you and I need. So Paul, in Romans chapter 12, made the story easier. He said, present, I beseech you. King James says, some other translations say, I plead with you. I beg you by the message of God or in view of the message of God that you present yourself unto God a living sacrifice. Present your complete self to God as what? A living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. This, one translation says, this is your reasonable worship. So I always say, if that translation says, this is your reasonable worship, that means there will be unreasonable worship. Some say, for this is your acceptable worship. So that means there will be unacceptable worship. Some say, for this is your genuine worship. So if there is genuine worship, there will be the fake one. Do I want us to give to the church? I want us to give to the church. We need the funds to keep doing what God has asked us to do. But that's not our heart. What we want is that God will be glad that all of us here, we are truly surrendered to Him. And as we give, it has eternal value and eternal reward, because we are given as sons and daughters to our Father's business, to our Father's mission, to our Father's assignment on the earth. That is more blessed. On all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. And I surrender, and I surrender all to Him, my blessed Savior. And I surrender. That's what it's supposed to be. But you know, sometimes if we look at ourselves, maybe it will be like this. I surrender some. I surrender a few. Unto Him, my blessed Savior, I surrender little. Some of you are looking at me strange. No. I'm just saying that sometimes we sing that, but the second version is what we actually are. And so that's not about impressing anyone. It's not about impressing the church. It's not about impressing the pastor. It's about that if we truly are for Jesus, then let's genuinely take that step, receive Him as our Lord and personal Savior, and strive in our humanness as well as in the power of the Holy Spirit to live for Him always, wherever we find ourselves. That is actually the height of giving that God appreciates. So Paul said, I am begging you. You guys look Christianly, but I'm begging you by the message of God, you present your life, yourselves, as a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable, reasonable worship, true worship. He said, what shall he profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would he profit if you are in the membership of Ambassador Baptist Church, or you're not in the membership of Ambassador Baptist Church, but you are here anyway, and people know you and believe you are Christian, but Christ doesn't know you? It means that all the inconveniences, whatever sacrifices that you had to make to be in church, not to be around others, you know, at the times you should be free to do stuff for yourself, were just a waste. We don't want that. I told myself in my little life that, Lord, everywhere I have the opportunity to be a pastor, may I not have people who from church go to hell, but that people that all of us together, we can see again after all the stress and headache that this life can bring, and meet in heaven where we don't have that. You know what Paul said? He said, if all our faith, our belief, whatever we say ends on earth here, he said, we are of all men most miserable. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can be able to prove what is good, what is acceptable, and what is pleasing to God. What is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What is that? To walk in the realm of the perfect will of God comes from a life that is surrendered and given totally to Jesus. That's what he's saying. And he's saying, I'm pleading with you. And so that means to us that we just all need to keep helping, encouraging, strengthening, spurring each other on this journey. Do you know why? A lot of people are losing faith in Christ. The devil is attacking families, marriages, Christian lives, businesses, careers. And the world outside there, they are running more towards a godless reality. That God is no longer part of the equation of their life. And sometimes they're looking at us. And sometimes speaking to us that, why are you into all this? During the week, I took up my walk. Normally, I do walk. And on the riverfront, the ambassador or bridgeside. So I always say Windsor or Riverside, even though they say it's Detroit. So I take a walk there. And so I saw some men, and they were just having elderly, they were having their stuffs. And I was singing as I did my walk. I will do that, you know. And so when I got closer to them, let it not be as if this man is disturbing them with his own noisy singing. So I had to bring myself to near a mute. And then one of them said, oh, no, don't worry. Just continue. It's okay. So I continued. So then I walked past them. And when I was coming back, I saw they were still there. So I brought out the 31 days prayer for the nation and our You Are Loved pamphlet. And I said, oh, well, I just want to share this with you if you don't mind this. And then the three of them got it. The one who said I could keep on singing, he kept his own. Then the two others said, oh, it's church stuff. No, no, no. I'm not a religious person. Take your stuff back. I said, oh, no, it's free. You could keep it. I said, no, take it back. So the other one, too, said, there were three of them. So the other one said, take it back. I'm not religious. I don't want anything religious. No, just one. I said, oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Then I went on to still say, well, we meet, I'm from Ambassador Baptist Church. If you're not taking that, I can say something. But the other one, he received it and said, oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. I said, we are praying for Canada, so you could go ahead, you know, just join, you know, at your own space. Just one verse per day makes it easier. And this is just wrong. And he took it. What am I trying to say? We are in a post-Christian era in Canada. And we have a lot of people, young and old, who do not want to see the Christ or accept or walk the life of faith that we have. And sometimes that makes us also not to be hot or cold. We're just lukewarm. Because we want to be politically correct and diplomatically acceptable. We want to fit in. And so sometimes our Christianity is not what it should be because we are also in between. But then we go to church, they don't. Now listen to me. We will be cheating ourselves if having spent all the time to be in church at different times, you did not give your life totally to Christ. But you gave your money in and out. which was very useful for the work, but that does not come with an eternal reward. It is your life surrendered to Jesus that secures your eternity and helps you to have his empowerment through his Holy Spirit to walk with him. That's my challenge for us this morning. That every time you give, even as you give your offerings, you give your tithes, you give whatever you're given or whatever given you are predisposed to, as we call for here, ask yourself first and foremost, how is my surrender to Jesus? How is my submission? Do I live at that daily? Am I walking with fear and trembling? Am I living to bring honor and glory to his name? Is he the Lord of my life? Am I willing to stand for him anywhere? Do I help others see Jesus in me? Because those are the first things first. And then he added to that, not just that they gave themselves to the Lord all together, they gave themselves also to us. In essence, they shared communal life of faith with the other Christians. And that's why they saw that opportunity of giving to the church in Jerusalem as something that was divine and something they needed not to be pressured about. As we share our lives together, let's know we're on this journey together. So don't think that pastor is preaching that today. It's like I'm the one pastor is trying to talk about. If it sounds or seems like you, it's not meant to discourage you or to be harsh on anyone. It is meant, whether those online or those here, it is meant so that we reflect and we take the right decision so that at the end of the day, we give ourselves and then our resources that makes for eternal value. Amen. Am I okay? Is that good? Good. Thank you. So this morning, we're going to bow down our heads. Now, if for any reason you have not given your life to Christ, then you have a good opportunity today. Just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't help myself. I'm coming to you. Receive me because you died for me. You shed your blood for me. And I'm confessing that I can't help myself. And if you're there, you've been a Christian, but you know your Christianity has been fumbling and wobbling. You're rising and falling. It's a good time to say, Lord, I'm rededicating myself. Help me in my submission to you. Let it be complete and not partial. Can we just bow our heads and just talk to the Lord in 1 minute? I give you that opportunity. Just talk to the Lord. In any way you feel that you need to talk about your Christian faith, just express it before the Lord. We need him. We need him. We can't do it by ourselves. All to Jesus, I surrender all to him. I freely give, and I will ever love and trust him in his presence. Daily, and I surrender, and I surrender unto him, my blessed Savior. Now surrender all. Father, we come before you this morning, everyone under the sound of my voice, online and on site. Lord, you want us to understand that it's not about our resources, it's about who we are. It's not just giving our money, our time, our skills, our talent. You're not just interested in people who are willing to offer, but people who first and foremost offer themselves, their souls, so that whatever we do in our giving, our resources, our talents, our skill, our time, it has eternal value and it has eternal reward because you care more about us. And Lord, we as a church, care more about the soul of every person that you brought here to be a part of these faith community. And Lord, we join our voice together. We join our hearts together. We join our faith together today that if there's anyone here who has not surrendered their lives, Lord, in your love that is so lavishing, Lord, touch them. Help us all to surrender our lives to Jesus. And as many, oh God, who are struggling with their Christian faith, they've been Christians, but they are fumbling, they are falling, they are rising, they are falling. And Lord, we say today as they heard, God, help them to easily come with full submission to your will and to your way. And let your Holy Spirit help them, and let your ministering angels minister to them. And let it be, oh God, that not just our resources will be given to you, the totality of who we are in the sphere of our stewardship of influence for the glory and the honor of your name. Thank you, Father, because we know it as well with our church, with our homes, with our families, and with our community. In Jesus' name, amen.